This is the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation podcast in association with Hort Week, the industry's leading trade title.
This podcast is brought to you with the help of our sponsor, More People, the market leaders for professional recruitment across the UK and internationally. They specialise in horticulture, fresh produce, food, agriculture and garden and leisure sectors. For more information, please visit morepeople.co.uk.
For World Skills and stuff, I was so nervous for it. And I didn't want to do it, but I always just say yes.
I'm Neville Stein, one of the trustees of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation. We know it's quite hard to find good information about horticultural careers, which is why we made this podcast. Anna McLaughlin is a young woman from Northern Ireland who's just finished studying her Level 3 horticulture at the really prestigious Caffrey College campus in Greenmount in Antrim. And I first came across Anna when I heard about her winning the World Skills competition earlier this year. World Skills is an international charity that organises world and national championships for vocational skills such as landscaping. It's held every 2 years in various parts of the world. Anna did this in the UK, and it also hosts conferences about vocational skills too. So it's a really prestigious organisation. Well done to Anna for winning gold medal in the landscaping category. What an achievement. Of course, I asked Anna how she won the competition and what that involved.
In 2022, the first year I'd done it, I achieved a silver medal. And then again in 2023, I'd went back and got the gold medal.
How many people were in that competition?
I'm not sure about the amount of people that originally, you know, applied for it. There's like a heat and then there's the actual final competition. And in the final, there's 8 people.
Anna, I know a little bit about World Skills, but can you tell us exactly what went on with your entry? What did you do to win this gold medal?
There's 2 polytunnels on the site. 8 people compete 4x4 each side. So we're all quite close together. We can all see each other's gardens. All our materials quite close, all set out for us so that we can get it kind of quick. And so for the actual building of the garden, it is, you know, brickwork, paving, setting out, water features, lighting features, and, you know, change the level. We all go off the same design, everything like that. And we've got a span of 3 days, so 16 and a half hours. It's kind of split up between those 3 days, and we just have to try and get it done to the best of our ability.
And when you're building this garden, are you looking at all your other competitors and wondering how they're doing, and are you getting a bit phased?
I try when I'm doing it, I'm trying to focus on my own work, because you'll find that everybody does different things in different orders, so there's no point looking over at someone because they may look like they have much more done than you. But it's just because you're doing it in a different order from then. And then you realise when you get to the end, everybody's kind of on the same parts. But everybody just has a different way of deciding how they want to start and build the garden, what steps they take. So a lot of us will have made our plans. It's encouraged to, you know, write out a plan for each day, down to, like, you know, every 10 minutes almost of what you're going to be doing during that time.
It sounds very energetic and full on. And I guess you were absolutely exhausted at the end of it.
Yeah, I can say I love doing it, but I was glad when it was over, just to, you know, get rid of all that stress.
And Anna, building a garden can be pretty complex. And there's a lot of tasks involved. How did you choose which tasks to do and when?
Well, before the competition, we were given, you know, the plans, the design of the garden, our scale drawings, all that kind of stuff. So we went over it with our lecturers at Caffrey, had a few direct training days there so that we could, you know, make a plan, work on it, see what works and what doesn't work. So we worked off that. And then also when you go to World Skills, it's all done in this span of 5 days. So those first 2 days we had training. So that was also a good way to see different ways of what people are doing, what the judges think we should kind of go for, all that kind of stuff. So we kind of had a good idea of what to build, when to do it. And, you know, the evening after training, we'd talk with lecturers, make any changes to our plans, and then just start it. For the garden that we had to build, it consisted of fencing. So that was just a corner of fencing around the back. There was lighting that was supposed to go up between the 2 trees that had been set in. By each corner, there's brickwork, brick wall with coping on top of that. Those are like big planters, so that's where your trees were set in. And from that, between the 2 planters that were brickwork, you had to step up So you have to change levels and stuff like that as well. And from that step up, it's all paving. So again, our paving was marked as well as that. And beside the paving, we had a wee water feature, just a small wee cube-shaped water feature. And the rest of it was all just graveled in, and then your plants were put everywhere. Any space you could get, you plant it everywhere, just to create, you know, the softness with the garden. Because it was all, you know, brickwork paving, quite sharp corners. So you just wanted that planting to create a nice, soft, flowing design. So all those areas were all marked. But as well as that, your attitude, your planning, all that kind of stuff was also accounted for in the marking.
And how long did you have to do that?
16 and a half hours.
And presumably, did you do it bang on time?
The first year I'd done it, I didn't get the garden done. But then the next year, I got everything in the garden done except for the lighting and water features. So it's definitely like a push for time.
And is it like one of these TV programs where you get a countdown of time and you panic, you know, when you get only half an hour left? Is it a bit like that?
Yeah, definitely. They even do like a 10-second countdown at the end and everybody just goes mad trying to get the final bits of cleaning done.
And, you know, when you arrived back at the airport, you know, you see these scenes of athletes coming back from the Olympics, you know, with gold medals. Was there a big load of people greeting you there to congratulate you?
Well, I got a pile of phone calls because I told my mummy straight away after I got the gold. I didn't wait to get home. So it was a lot of phone calls to the family, and then there was a very happy grandparents waiting for me.
Marvellous. They must have been very proud because, it's a major achievement. Well done. Anna, you mentioned that you've been studying at CAFRI, which is the, you know, College for Agriculture, Farming and Rural Enterprises in Greenmount, Northern Ireland. Tell me, what were you studying there?
I was studying the Level 3 in Horticulture course. So that's a two-year full-time. It covers all aspects of horticulture. So you've got your nursery work, you've got your garden design, you've got your landscaping, your maintenance, plant ID, the seeds and all that kind of stuff, just all mashed into your 2 years. It's a good balance between, you know, practical and theory, kind of 50-50.
And what did a typical day look like? Was it quite varied, or were you stuck just doing one thing all day?
It's quite varied. I mean, we did have, you know, sort of a timetable set up. So maybe you'd be doing like soil science one day, but then after that, there would be some kind of nursery work or design. So usually you'd have like 3 different things on during a day, and that mix between, you know, a theory maybe in the morning and then the practical at lunch. So it was a good varied day, and it wasn't just you're doing the same thing constantly.
Anna, tell me a bit about what the experience at college was like for you. You know, it sounds like it was a great horticultural course, but were there other benefits being around people, you know, similar age with the same passion for horticulture? You know, how was that for you?
Oh, yes, definitely. The 2 years were just, you know, full of fun. Obviously, with people around your own age, kind of get along very well. A lot of the course was a good bit of practical, which is what I more like. You just got to see how different everybody kind of was, how they worked, how they, you know, solved different things. We had like synoptics and stuff, which is where you're assessed on a range of things from your practical to your theory. And you just saw how, you know, people kind of did better in one area and what they preferred.
Do you think taking a college course for someone is a really good way of trying to identify what area of horticulture they might like to go into?
Yes, definitely. Especially the level 3, because it's so much, you know, 50% theory, 50% practical. You get to see both the theory side of that subject you're studying and the practical. And especially with CAFRI, the guy came in just knowing I kind of wanted to go to horticulture, but not knowing exactly what I wanted to focus on. I could see, you know, maybe the nursery side wasn't really for me, but the landscaping and the garden design was definitely for me. So it just helped me hone in more on what I wanted.
What inspired you to get into horticulture then?
Houseplants, actually. I just became obsessed with houseplants.
Really?
Yeah. And then after that, I never even heard of horticulture, never heard it through school or anything. And then just started to hear more about it. And I just thought that would be the right thing for me.
So you discovered houseplants, got a love for horticulture. And then what did you do? Did you look around and see whether there's any suitable educational programs for you?
Well, my brother was always into, you know, agriculture and stuff like that. And we always thought he'd be the one to go to Greenmount. So that's how I'd actually heard of Greenmount. So I went to like an open day with him when I was about 14 and was there and just thought, no, I'd never be here. Didn't think anything of it. But then after a few years down the line, here I was.
I find that quite an interesting comment, really. You know, Caffrey, I've been there, as you know, several times, and it's a big campus and it's well known in the region. So I guess actually a lot of people, a lot of local residents know that it probably is the place in Northern Ireland to go if you want to study land-based. Do you sense that? Do you think it's got a good brand and reputation over there?
Oh, yes. Where I work, people ask, did you go to Caffrey? Everybody just knows Caffrey. It seems to be the place that anybody's in horticulture had went.
So it seems going to Caffrey could sort of begin to rocket power your career. It sounds like, you know, obviously being a world skills champion could rocket power your career as well. Where is your horticultural career going to go now then?
Currently, I'm a head gardener at the King's Coronation Garden in Newton Abbey.
Right.
But I think gardening, love it, but it's not for me. So I'm definitely, you know, veering more towards the hard landscaping side and the garden design side of things. You know, I love it, especially after World Skills. I just fell in love with it. So it's definitely the direction I want to go in.
What is it that you love about it then, you know, compared to being a head gardener?
I suppose garden design and, you know, landscaping goes hand in hand. Just, you know, from the very start of, you know, looking at a site, drawing up the design, and then you go on to build it and seeing it all come together and having the finished product. I like the whole process of it all.
So tell me, I guess you've studied quite a few garden designers and landscapers. Who's your hero?
Ooh, I'm going to say Dermot Gavin. I got the chance to work with him on the King's Coronation Garden. That's how I met him. And just he took the time to, you know, explain the whole build. He even gave me a few of his own design books, which was really nice of him. So no, definitely Dermot.
He's a great supporter of the industry, isn't he?
Yeah.
And a great supporter of young people. So tell me then, what's your favourite garden?
Glenarm Castle Gardens. At my level 3 course at Caffrey, the summer in between the 2 years, you have to do work experience. So I just thought I'd go, you know, to Glenarm Castle Gardens and just loved it. I was saying loved it, just the people there. The garden itself is just beautiful. So it is, you've got all your borders all along the side. It's a walled garden, so it is. So along all the walls, just your borders. You know, you've got your hot border, your shaded border, all that kind of stuff. And it's just, you got your pond, all your grass area, everything's maintained amazingly. So it was definitely the place to go for my work experience.
We've interviewed landscapers on this podcast before, and it strikes me that, you know, landscaping or garden design is an easy industry to be in if you want to start your own business. Does that feel right for you? Do you think you might end up having your own business?
Possibly in the future. I think, you know, at the moment, definitely not ready. Just, you know, we need to gain more skills, get more experience, and just learn a lot more about the industry and then possibly move on to that step.
And does that involve further study, do you think? If so, what sort of qualification will you study and where do you think that might be?
I haven't really thought much more about going into education again. I'm very much a practical person who likes to just get outside, you know, work with my hands, that kind of side of things. So education, I know as you go higher up, it's a lot more theory, a lot more paperwork, bookwork, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not really into that side of things. But at the same time, for garden design, I know it's all moving more digital. So you've got to, you know, learn how to use all your, like, AutoCAD and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure yet.
That's an interesting point to think about, the wide range of skills one might need as a garden designer. It's not just about knowing plants, is it? You know, if you're technically very competent in the digital space, you know, one can become, you know, a very good garden designer. Do you think that, you know, you're going to spend the majority of your career there in Northern Ireland, or are you going to move elsewhere?
Definitely think I'm moving elsewhere. The mainland has a lot more opportunity from what I've seen. From over here, Northern Ireland's great, and the people here are great, but I think definitely mainland is probably the way I'm going to have to go if I want to continue to grow my career.
Or further afield, you know, my experience is that, you know, horticulture is certainly a passport to travelling around the world and create loads of opportunities for working in other countries as well. So you never know. You might even be managing a botanic garden in America one day, you know, that's a thought, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I never even thought about going further afield, actually, when you say that.
Certainly there are huge amounts of opportunities, particularly for British people in horticulture. You know, they all sort out worldwide. So I think widening your scope there, you know, it might be further than Great Britain, mind you, you know, certainly there's a lot of opportunities there for you. So, you know, finally, a couple of other questions. If you're going to give some advice to someone that's going to come into horticulture, you know, if they're listening to this podcast, what should they do?
Always say yes. That's what I do. Just always say yes. I'm quite a nervous person for world skills and stuff. I was so nervous for it and I didn't want to do it, but I always just say yes. It's the same with going over to Chelsea Flower Show. Was dead nervous to travel over to London by myself, but I just said yes, got my flights and all booked, got my accommodation all sorted and just went and did it. This is even the same for this podcast. Nervous, but you know, still say yes, always say yes.
Anna, you've been an absolute star. I really appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot on to do. It sounds like you've really got your career sort of well mapped out and thought out. I don't think I can give you any advice about your career because you're doing so well.
Thanks very much for having me.
My thanks to Anna McLaughlin for joining me on this Cultivate Your Future podcast. If you'd like to find out more about World Skills, then we'll put the link in the show notes. And also, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about what's on offer at CAFRI there in Greenmount, we'll again put that link in the show notes for you.